This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. We are led by our senior pastors, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. The sermon this week is titled, Prayer and Fasting, the Only Way to Certain Breakthroughs, and was offered by Pastor Jeff Lamont. It was recorded on January 5th, 2020. It's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
Well, if you can't tell, this is one of the most exciting days of the year for me. I love this Sunday. I love this 21 days that we are entering into. I look forward to it. It's always interesting to me because sometime in the month of December, it clicks into my heart and my mind, and I start thinking about the fast. Oftentimes before Christmas, while we're in the middle of feasting and having gatherings, I start getting hungry for the pursuit of God. And I have been looking forward to this time. And I want to share a little bit with you this morning, a message that I want to call Prayer and Fasting, the Only Way to Certain Breakthroughs. And my phrase there, the only way to certain breakthroughs, is kind of has a double meaning in this sense. And I'll show you in Scripture what I'm talking about here in just a moment. But I really believe God's calling us to a time of prayer and fasting. Because I believe that God does something. I believe that miracles happen, that strongholds are broken, that in a time of prayer and fasting, we are refocused and we are revived. I believe His power begins to just do a new work in each of us, and it revitalizes us in a whole new way. And I hope you feel the excitement, and you're entering into this time with excitement also. Let me show you just a couple of resources that I want to recommend to you this morning and point out to you. Kind of our book, I gave a copy to all of our staff and leadership team this year from Mark Batterson. It's called Double Blessing, How to Get It, How to Give It. And many of our staff have already came up to me. In fact, one of my dear brothers, Doug, just came up to me this morning and said, that book is excellent. So we have them on the table back there. Really good deal. Okay, I think just $10 for a hardback book, which I think it normally is $17 or $20, something like that. So pick one up. I think it'll be a blessing for you to read through the time of fasting. And it'll be a great way to kind of get to kind of also bring in some additional material to bless you in this season of prayer and fasting. And then over on the far side, Pursuit. We don't have this book in stock, but I figure we live in the day of Amazon Prime, and if you're interested, you can pick this up and get it in your hands in just a couple of days. It's by a pastor named Dave Patterson, and it's a 21-day prayer and fasting devotional. We'll be reading out of this every morning, Monday through Friday, when we gather here for our time of prayer. So if you'd like to get a copy and kind of have your own personal copy, and there's places for notes and things that God is speaking to you, you should pick up a copy of that. And then a couple of other things real quick. The YouVersion Bible app. How many of you have the YouVersion Bible app? Can I see your hands? All right, many of you. Some of you maybe have not even heard of it. This is what it looks like. It looks like the Bible, Holy Bible. And you can easily download it on the App Store. And if you go to that, okay, now this is going to be a little difficult, and maybe I don't even expect you to do this, quite honestly, but if you'd like to read the Bible plan, the one-year Bible, with me and with several people here in the fellowship, I'm seeing Gail over there, I always love everyday Gail posts, this is the code right here. If I could give that to you electronically, you just tap on it, but you're going to have to write it down, and that may take a little bit, so... Don't you love how they make those codes, like, so big? Or take a picture of it. That's a good idea, Mario. I saw that taking a picture. That's a better idea right there. So if you put that in, you can join with me. And another great app is the Daily Audio Bible, which tracks along with us daily in our reading. We encourage the whole body here to read the Bible together through the year. It's such a powerful thing. It keeps us focused. It keeps us growing. The video I showed you last week, if you spend more than 4 days a week in the Word, it makes a substantial difference in your spiritual life and growth. In fact, I want to show you a couple of quick little videos from the YouVersion. And the first one is just a testimony of being in the Bible and what a difference that makes. And the second one is this whole idea of doing the Bible together with your friends. So I think Jen Hansen posted on one of our New Song Facebooks, the link where you can punch the link too. So take a picture, go to Facebook, write that down, whatever works for you. But I'd love to have several more of you join me. I think about 15, 16 of you are on there right now. And by the way, here's the spoiler alert. And this got back to me, that some of you were worried that if you join Pastor Jeff in reading the Bible through the year together, that I would be able to watch you and monitor you. And that I was going to come back to you, you know, hey, what happened to your Bible reading? You know, and kind of creep on you or something. I'm not planning to do that, and I can't actually, okay? It doesn't give me access to what you did or didn't read, okay? And if you don't post every day, that's fine. You know, there's days that I miss. But it's just neat together to post the scripture or whatever stood out to you, whatever God was speaking to you, and then maybe even a couple of comments of something the Lord spoke to you. So it's just a cool thing. Check these videos out. Wow, isn't that cool? Can you give the Lord praise? Man, love to have you joining us in that this year. So if you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn with me to Mark chapter 9 or your phones. I want to really lay out for us the case this morning and just encourage you deeply to enter into this fast with us. And for some of you, that may seem overwhelming, may seem far beyond what you think you're ready for. But let me just tell you this morning a little bit about fasting. Fasting is a hunger strike against hell. Fasting causes us to seek and to see vertical solutions to the horizontal problems of our lives. Fasting will fast track your prayers. Fasting will break the yoke of bondage. Fasting will release God's power and bring about supernatural results in your life. Fasting will bring divine wisdom to life's perplexing problems. Fasting will humble your hearts and recalibrate your spirits that you might walk in a newfound awareness of God's presence and God's purpose in your life. Fasting brings about supernatural protection and divine direction. Fasting will give you favor with people and favor with God. Fasting brings heaven's answer and hell's defeat. Folks, I got to tell you this morning, fasting truly makes a difference. Can you say amen to that? So let's get ready this morning. Let's determine to fast and seek God over these next 21 days, because I really believe this, the next 21 days can make a difference for the remaining 360 days in 2020. In fact, for some of you, this fast may be something you look back on many, many years from now and say, that was a defining moment in my spiritual life and breakthrough. In Mark chapter 9, the disciples have been sent out on mission with Jesus before. They have healed people, they've seen miracles, they've prayed and seen breakthroughs, but they run into this situation in Mark chapter 9 where there was no breakthrough. No breakthrough. In Mark 9:29, Jesus says to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting." Now, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus and you trust his words, those words are written in red. Those words are from his heart. There's something key there. There's something we might not fully understand, but something we should sure try to enter into and understand more deeply. That this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting. There are some things, folks, that will not happen, but only through prayer and fasting. They just won't happen any other way. It's hard to describe. It's a spiritual principle. It's something that maybe we can't fully understand or grasp, but this is what Jesus says. The disciples had seen many other things happen, but in this situation, nothing was happening. So let me just remind you that fasting is primarily about giving up food. I mean, there's a lot of talk today about fasting, different things, and you'll even hear me throw out some of it. I talked last week about the necessity and the power, I think, that can come in fasting, social media, setting your phone aside, putting it on do not disturb, not looking at it the 2,167 times that are the norm for us today, but really taking that time and focusing it before the Lord, setting, as the psalmist said, the Lord before you constantly, instead of your cell phone, instead of the TV, instead of your computer, whatever it may be. Now, I know some of us have to work, use those devices for work purposes, but can you limit it? Can you keep boundaries? That can be a form of fasting, and I think it can be a really good and helpful form of fasting. But I want to remind you that you can fast things like that, but you also need to consider some type of food-related fast, because that is what fasting, according to the Bible, truly is. You can fast food, okay? Now, some of you just heard me say fast food, and you got the wrong impression there. Some of you are thinking, yay, I can go to Chick-fil-A all I want on this fast. No. You're getting the wrong impression, okay? One of the keys to fasting is not just giving up the food, but also finding more time for God. More time to have fellowship with Him. I want to encourage you, if you fast, even if it's a little bit, we'll talk about the types here in just a minute, that two things are going to happen. You're going to free up time and money. Time and money. And in Isaiah 58, it says that we ought to be those who are giving generously to see justice and liberty and blessing for those that are oppressed, those that are in need. So there's a way to use that money for God's glory. Also, that time should be focused on just drawing close to God. There's three types of fasts. I want to run through them quickly with you that we find in the Bible. And the first one is an absolute fast. I'm not recommending this for anybody here, okay? This is fasting without any food or water. You can only do that for 3 days without it damaging your body, okay? Unless there's a supernatural intervention there. So I'm not recommending that anyone do that type of fast. The normal type of fasting, number two, is abstaining from food but drinking lots of water. And by the way, it should be either spring water or distilled water, okay? Not tap water, okay? And this can be really good. In fact, you'll find that today there's lots and lots of the medical community has come around again to the understanding that fasting has a lot of health benefits. It detoxes your body from all the different chemical additives and all the different stuff that's in our food today. And it's a very healthy thing for you. You can do a normal fast many different ways. You can do it sunrise till sundown. Sunrise till sundown. You can do one meal a day. You can do a fast for a few days where you do all three meals and then kind of come in and start doing one meal or two meals. There's several different ways you can do it. You can give up certain types of foods. That would be under the partial fast. Number three, that can be done in a variety of ways. One of them that we know of in the Old Testament is called the Daniel fast, where Daniel purposed not to eat any of the delicacies, not to eat any of the rich foods. So he basically confined his menu to fruits and vegetables. You can do a liquid fast. You can do smoothies. The point is to draw close to God. The point is the heart behind the fast. That I want to use this time and this opportunity to draw closer to you, God, to get to know you better, to really seek you. So anything that you set aside for the purpose of seeking God, I think will make a difference. But I would ask you to ask God what He wants you to do. And then, of course, there are some who have to consider medical constraints and may need to check in with your physician to make sure it's safe for you for your own medicines and various things like that. So, by the way, as you begin to fast, and I know in the New Testament there's references to fasting in private. In the Old Testament, we have several references to public fasts. We do know in the New Testament, though, that the New Testament church fasted with regularity on certain days of the week. So they were public fasts in the sense that it was something they regularly did together. But Jesus says, you know what, wash your face. And don't go around acting like you're, woe is me and feel sorry for me. please don't do that. People may be sympathetic to you, but tell them, don't feel sorry for me. I'm doing something powerful that God is going to honor, and there's going to be real blessings as a part of it. Don't go around trying to get sympathy and mercy. That's not the point. The point is to draw closer to God. So I have a little prayer list here that I put together just to run through with you quickly. Just some things to really be thinking about as we enter into the fast. Spiritual awakening across our city, across our state, and across this nation. How many of you think we're in a place where we really need the greatest awakening that perhaps our nation's ever experienced? For the people of New Song to be strong in the Lord, I'm praying for each of you to be strong disciples in Christ, that you would be walking in His constant blessing with a constant awareness of His presence. For the growth of New Song Church and Academy, people to be reached and discipled and sent out on mission. By the way, God's doing some really cool stuff in our Academy and in our church. Our Academy is stepping out in faith to start a high school program. Isn't that awesome? And we need the blessing of the Lord, the favor of the Lord. We feel like He's leading us to do it. We want to pray over that together. Blessings on our Harvest Project, partners and ministries. Man, our missionaries don't just need our giving, they need our prayers too. Amen? And then Freedom Conference and Freedom Ministries. We feel like God has called us to do that and to build that to touch our city, for people to connect in our small groups, for breakthrough, for family and friends, lost loved ones to find Christ. Many of us in that situation where we're just crying out on for the Lord's behalf on our families. Strong disciples to be raised up in our youth and our children's ministries here at New Song, and for God's will for the upcoming elections. How many of you think we should be praying about that even now? So, lots to pray for, lots to pray about, lots to set aside this time and to seek the Lord. Well, I want to look at a story today where the disciples, and we've already kind of dove into it, but I want to show you a parallel passage of the same story where they were struggling to see a breakthrough. Matthew chapter 17, it's the same as the passage in Mark. It says, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt down before them. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and he's suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire, into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. And then here's Jesus' words. You unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Now I want to stop there for just a moment. The disciples have a problem. They can't seem to get a breakthrough in prayer when praying for this boy. Up until this situation, they've been praying for people. They've been seeing miracles. They have beheld breakthroughs. But Jesus had given them authority. But there's something different in this situation. There's something blocking their prayers. There's something that's not coming, that's not breaking through. And it's interesting because Jesus highlights two problems in his answer to the disciples. And I have two words highlighted right there in that passage that I believe are oftentimes the cause why we don't see our prayers answered or breakthroughs coming. It says, Lord, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus, knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures, is suffering, falls into the fire, into the water, brought him to your disciples. They could not heal him. You unbelieving and perverse generation. Jesus replied, how shall I stay with you? How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Unbelieving and perverse. Those are some pretty tough words. Let me give you some definitions that I think will help you see something that we need to absolutely know. Jesus identifies a problem that I'm convinced is just as much, probably way more so, a problem today than it was then. Unbelieving and perverse. Unbelieving just simply means this. It means not connected enough to God. You are not connected enough to me. In some ways, you've almost become an unbeliever. You're not believing like you should. He's talking to his disciples, not to unchristians. He's talking to his own disciples. You've allowed doubt. You've allowed unbelief to enter into your heart. You've lost that deep, intimate faith in Christ that brings about these kind of breakthroughs. You become a doubter, and the doubt comes from a disconnection from me and my power and my ways. You're unbelieving. You're not connected enough. You need to improve your connection with God. If you were walking with me the way you need to, it would bring faith and it would take away the unbelief. The second word is perverse. And it simply means too connected to the world. It literally means crooked or bent. You're also just too connected to the world. You're not connecting enough with me like you should, and you've gotten involved with things that are diluting my relationship with you, that are polluting my relationship with you. Now, I've had a number of experiences, and I try to be very open and honest about these things. But there are places that I've walked into before that when I walked out of them, I felt polluted. There are shows that I've turned on before, and even after just watching a few minutes, I have felt a pollution in my spirit and in my heart. Because I've just seen something I shouldn't have seen. I just watched something I shouldn't have watched. And quite honestly, if we're not careful, it's easy to start making excuses for those type of things, but I don't think we need to make excuses for them. I think we need to once again say, God, what would you want me to put before my eyes? The psalmist says, help me not to put anything that's corrupt before my eyes. Help me to keep my eyes focused on you, Lord. I don't know if you've experienced that before or not, but I sure have. You've gotten involved with things that are diluting our relationship, that are polluting my relationship. It's perverse, it's bent, or it's crooked, it's messed up. And that's the problem. Two problems. You're not connected enough to me, and you're too connected to the world. And I think this is just a major challenge for all of us who are trying to live here in the United States of America with the accessibility that all of us have to so much stuff that we never had before. In the last 20 years, you can now access things like never before. And some of us are staying connected to those things more than we are connected to God. And it's disconnecting us from His presence. This fast is always key for me. It's always key for me. There's two things every year that I feel like God uses to help me, and this is one of them. It recalibrates my compass. It refocuses my heart and my spirit. The other is the mission trip, because I can get off track. I can ever so slightly just start to veer off track a little bit in my love and my devotion to God, in my love and my care for the lost and for God's purposes and plans. And the fast recalibrates my heart and my soul, and the mission trip once again just reignites my passion for those who are lost and in need of Christ. Now listen, I'm not going to tell you this morning where you're too connected to this world and not connected enough to God. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He'll be faithful to show you if you will ask Him. And I would really encourage you to ask Him. And will you ask Him and listen? Will you let him speak to you? And just those tender whispers in your own heart, your own spirit. There's things He'll show you. There's things He'll reveal to you that He'll bring conviction on. He doesn't bring condemnation, He brings conviction. Condemnation puts us down, makes us feel defeated. Conviction leads us to that place where we can change our heart and our mind and agree with God and find freedom and blessing. So let's go back to our passage for just a moment here this morning as we finish our time together. Verse 18, Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private, notice this, and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? Why did the disciples come in private? Because I tell you, they were embarrassed. They were embarrassed. Why couldn't we drive it out, Lord Jesus? And he said, let's talk about this. Come over here. Let's talk about this in private. And he replied, because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by what? Would you say it with me? Prayer and fasting. Notice he names two things. He named two problems. Now he names two solutions. The two problems, unbelieving and perverse, not connected enough to God, too connected to the world. Now he names two things. Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. These two things solve the problems that he addressed earlier, right? Let me show you how they do. Prayer connects us to God. This solves the unbelieving part. The more you spend time with God, the more confidence you'll have in God. The more you will know him, the more you'll experience him, the more your faith will grow. That's why I'm always encouraging you. I will do anything to help you grow in your time with God because it's so key. It's not enough just to come and hear a good message on Sunday. It's not enough just to listen to a podcast from time to time. You need to build your own walk with God. You need to get to know him personally, and that always comes from spending time with him. Second word Jesus used, fasting. Fasting, let me tell you, will disconnect you from this world. This is one of the least practiced disciplines in the church. In fact, for hundreds of years, there was no books even written about fasting, even though it's clearly articulated numerous places in Scripture. Why has fasting been so overlooked? Well, I'll tell you why, because it's difficult. In fact, it's painful. In fact, it's sacrificial. But let me just remind you that this was a key of the early church. When you look at the book of Acts, they were fasting and praying regularly together. The reason God was moving and working, the reason their world was turned upside down, the reason the church advanced and touched the world is because they were fasting and praying. Fasting's not about punishing yourself so that you can suffer for Jesus. No, simply put, it's about disconnecting from this world so you can truly connect with God. Fasting, think about it. It's about giving up the very thing that keeps you anchored to this world. We all know, right? You go long enough without food, you perish. It is the nutrients and the calories and what's needed for you to keep your body functioning. But if you take a time and a period and say, you know what? More than the very thing that keeps me alive, I desire you, God. Talk about entering into a powerful place of intimacy. Oh, I just so want to encourage you to come out in the morning, 7 to 8, if you would join us. See, when we get involved, and I think it's a constant fight. It's a really tough fight. In the worldly things in this life, we lose some of our dominion in God. Adam and Eve in the beginning, and we've just started reading the Bible together again, and we just finished the story of Adam and Eve. They were given dominion in this world. They were blessed by God and then given dominion. But as soon as they satisfied their appetites by sinning, they lost their dominion in this world. Isn't that interesting? If you want to get your dominion back, you want to walk in a new level of power, a new level of anointing, you have to push back the things of this world. Don't be so involved in the things of this world. Disconnect from the things of this world. Jesus says we're to be in this world, but not of it. There's something to wrestle with. This church, I look at it and I'm so thankful for it, and I see it as a sign and a wonder from God. But I got to tell you, it was birthed through a season of prayer and fasting. Everything that's ever happened here at New Song is the result of a time of 21 days of prayer and fasting that Tracy and I walked through back in 1993. And when we began the church very humbly in our living room, we always, every year, we had a time of prayer and fasting. And this continues that streak because here's what I believe. Paul talks about this. He says that I chose not to minister among you with just the cunning or the cleverness of human intellect. I chose not to use human eloquence or wisdom, but to rely on the power of God. I was listening to a powerful message by Francis Chan the other day. They'd invited him to speak about how to reach the millennial generation. And he just cut through everything. He said, you know what? It's not going to be our cleverness that we reach this generation. It's going to be about going back to the key things that always worked in Scripture, and that's prayer and the Word of God and fasting. Now, I love all the accoutrements and all the cool stuff. I love our wall. I love our lights. I love our video capability. But I do know this. Those aren't going to be the things that change people's lives eternally. I think the thing that's going to absolutely spark life change, that's going to bring about an atmosphere and a culture and a people who love people, who reach people, who touch people, who serve people, who move and work with the compassion of Jesus, it's going to be prayer and fasting, folks. It's going to be drawing closer to God and disconnecting more and more from this world. So I want to invite you into a season of prayer and fasting. There's a chapter in the Bible, by the way, about fasting. You should read it. It's Isaiah chapter 58. It'll give you some really interesting thoughts about what a true fast in God's heart and mind looks like. I want to show you one simple promise out of that chapter related to fasting. And I'm talking about a fasting that truly seeks after God's heart. Isaiah 58, verse 9. Here's what he says. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. Here am I. Now, I underlined those three words, here am I, because I believe the thing that's the only thing that's going to set the church apart, the only thing that set it apart 2,000 years ago, the only thing that can set it apart today is God's presence. If we don't have God's presence, we might as well fold it up and go home, folks. We have to be a people who are passionate about his presence, who are seeking him and seeking to live lives that are pleasing to him. And look at it in the message. Then you'll pray. God will answer. So I want to leave you with that encouragement today as you hopefully enter in some way, shape, or form with us these next 21. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? I'm going to ask the worship team to come on back up if they would. Love to have a little time of worship as we close out today. By the way, I'm going to mention something to you very simple here, but it's going to be profound also. Everybody look at me again for just a second. I'm going to ask you to do something. Might seem a little crazy, might seem a little different for some of you. But as you carve out a time to be with God, hopefully you have your Bible, maybe a good book like Double Blessing. Hopefully you have a journal. But at some point, as you're praying and as you're reading, just begin to worship the Lord. Just begin to worship him in just very simple ways. I did this the other day, and all of a sudden, it just brought such a breakthrough in my time with God. It just made it so personal and real. I just lifted my hands and began to sing a song to the Lord. Now, you know, hopefully, you know, you probably don't want to do this in Starbucks, but I'm talking about being in your private place with the Lord. Jesus talks about being in that secret place. Get in the Word, pray. And at some point, just worship. Doesn't have to be long, but there's a connection that comes in your heart, your spirit, with God's heart and spirit when you just begin to simply worship. Okay, if you bow your heads again with me, Lord, would you just stir our hearts for you? Give us a newfound hunger for you. Meet us powerfully in these 21 days. And Lord, bring breakthroughs. There are certain breakthroughs that only will happen through prayer and fasting. And I believe there's some things here in the hearts and lives of several of us here in this congregation that as we pray and fast, you're going to bring breakthrough that nothing else has brought. So Lord, just honor this time as we seek you with all of our hearts in Jesus' strong name. Everybody said amen.